Welcome to Fact Check Radio, a weekly wrap-up of spin and deception in politics. I'm Lori Robertson, managing editor of factcheck.org.
And I'm Vivica Novak, Fact Check's deputy director. Is the health care law responsible for whopping premium hikes? That's what Republican leaders claim. This week, we'll tell you what's happening with insurance rates.
But first, as our listeners and readers know, we monitor the Sunday political talk shows for bogus and misleading statements. We picked up a couple of statements on the ever-popular topics of taxes and spending this week.
We're hearing a lot these days about proposals to reduce the deficit, one of which is to get rid of earmarks or projects that are stuck into spending bills by individual members of Congress. It's really popular to be anti-earmark these days. But David Axelrod, President Obama's top advisor, overstated how much they'd been cut since Democrats took control of both houses of Congress. Here he is on Fox News Sunday.
To the United States Senate when the Republicans were last in charge, earmarks exploded to 16,000 in one year alone. Democrats have cut that in half, but we should go the final step here because they've become a symbol of, some of them are good and some aren't.
Two groups, Taxpayers for Common Sense and Citizens Against Government Waste, track congressional earmarks, and the Congressional Research Service has looked at them too. All three agree that the number of earmarks peaked in 2005 when Republicans had the majority in the House and Senate. CRS put the number at just over 16,000, which is the figure Axelrod used.
We got 2010 numbers from the White House Budget Office and from Citizens Against Government Waste. The White House shows a decline in earmarks since 2005 of 32%, while the Government Waste Watchdog Group pegs it at a more generous 35%.
But in any case, it's not 50%, as Axelrod said.
Another thing we'll be hearing more about is how everyone wants to protect the middle class as Congress figures out what to do about the expiring Bush tax cuts. But what exactly is the middle class?
There's no accepted definition of this overused term, but we're certain that it doesn't include 98% of Americans, as Democratic Senator Mark Warner said on CNN's State of the Union last weekend.
Basis for it. First of all, I think we all agree that for middle class, the 98% of Americans, their tax cuts ought to be extended. Then I start with the premise that actually both the
Warner may have been talking about the fact that many Democrats oppose extending the tax cuts for the top 2% of income earners, those families earning more than $250,000 a year and individuals making more than $200,000. But is everyone who earns less than that part of the middle class?
There are some statistical measures that can help us define it. One is the median household income, which the U.S. Census Bureau reported was about $50,000 in 2009. The Census Bureau also divides household income into five sections, so the middle quintile could be considered the middle class. In 2009, that included households making between $38,500 and about $62,000.
And those numbers are way below what the top 2% earn. Moving on, another top issue today is the new health care law. Leading Republicans in Congress are blaming the law for big premium increases being sought by insurance companies.
But did the law cause the double-digit rate hikes in some states? That's what Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell and House Speaker-in-Waiting John Boehner have claimed.
And it's not true. New benefits required by the law have caused some premium increases, but most of the increases McConnell and Boehner have called attention to are due to rising medical costs. They would have happened whether the law was passed or not.
For instance, Boehner said in a press release that premiums would skyrocket because of the law. As proof, he cites a report on rising premiums by the Kaiser Family Foundation. But that report was about increases that took effect before the law was even signed.
And McConnell says the law is responsible for, quote, whopping rate increases. He points to a news story about a Washington state man who says after the law took effect, his rates went through the roof. But that same news story quotes the state insurance commissioner, an elected Democrat, as saying the changes had nothing to do with the health care law. The insurance company in question later admitted that the law was only partly at fault and that the rates were due in large part to rising medical and prescription drug costs.
But the law did cause some plans to increase rates by at least a few percentage points, sometimes more, right? What's behind that?
Well, this fall, some of the regulations were put into place. They say insurers can't deny coverage to kids because of pre-existing conditions, and companies must allow kids to stay on their parents' insurance until age 26. Also, plans must provide free preventive care with no copays or deductibles and eliminate lifetime and certain annual monetary caps on coverage.
So plans that didn't offer those benefits will now have to do so, and because of that, the premiums will cost more.
That's correct. And the rate increases that Republicans have pointed to are in the individual market. That's where people buy their own coverage. Those plans are less likely than employer-sponsored plans to include these benefits. Some insurance companies, in fact, offer very basic, stripped-down plans that will have to be upgraded significantly. About 14 million people, or 6% of the non-elderly who are insured, have individual coverage.
What about plans that people have now? They're grandfathered, correct?
Yes, the grandfathered plans aren't subject to most of the new requirements, but anyone switching plans or buying a new one will be getting one with the improved benefits.
So what kind of an increase are we talking about because of the new benefits?
Well, a health policy analyst with the National Association of Insurance Commissioners told us the general trend was a 1% to 3% increase in premiums in the individual market. And healthcare experts we talked with agreed that that would be the overall impact. Some insurance companies, however, have put in higher requests with their state insurance commissions.
That does conflict with President Obama's repeated claim that the law would reduce most people's premiums and lower costs.
Yes, and that's an optimistic promise from Obama that may or may not happen. The Congressional Budget Office, for instance, said that most people's premiums wouldn't change much because of the law once it's fully implemented. Republicans, however, have gone too far when they say the law is mostly to blame for the premium hikes.
You can read more about these claims and others at factcheck.org. FactCheck is a project of the University of Pennsylvania's Annenberg Public Policy Center. And that's it for this edition of FactCheck Radio, which will take a break next week. Have a happy Thanksgiving, and we'll be back with you in December. I'm Vivica Novak.
And I'm Lori Robertson. Thanks for joining us.